When we're finished, I'll bring you a transcript and things. And, in fact, when we finish today, I'll talk to you about all of the things that will happen from here. So
well,
you can get a copy.
And do we get the, that is what other women have?
I think that after they're processed, if you wanted to look through them, you could probably do that. But, I'll have to check with my supervisor in terms of how they're going to handle all of that. But you do get your own.
Oh.
So you can, and after it's deposited in the library, of course, anybody can go and look through.
Oh, they have to go to the library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, to go back to the years when you were working at Lockheed afterwards, did it seem to you when you were working there that you could work at pretty much the same kinds of work you had been at before? Were there any new limitations on the kinds of things they were letting women do?
No. The only thing is they expected more of you. And that isn't like I said in the lifting and things like that. But no, they everything ran on a pretty even keel that way. They it was the worst when they first said, well, if the women couldn't do the lifting, well, they couldn't do the job, so they just have to either downgrade them or lay them off.
I'm sure this may have changed later, but when you first went back, say, in 51, were there many minority workers there? You had mentioned that during the war there had been...
They had to hire who come. Uh-huh. They couldn't turn them away because of the color of their skin.
So even when you went back, say, in 51, there were still black and Hispanic
all
workers?
Mm-hmm. All types.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there just wasn't as many Orientals because they had their, they usually followed a different trade, but if they were qualified to work, and passed the examinations. They'd hired them the same as they did anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And they were all good workers.
Uh-huh. So. Did while you were working during this period, now you told me that that during this period you had had just before you went back to work, you had had a really a hard period there, some hard times there with your in-laws and your husband's death and then illness. What was going on in your life outside of work from 51 to 71 in those years?
51 to 71?
Yeah, and that after you went back to work, what kinds of things were happening in your life outside of work?
Nothing, because I didn't, in 55, I remarried, he was great to spend money, entertainment, and take somebody out to dinner. His whole paycheck would almost go on entertainment that way, so then I had to draw the line there because he was spending my money too. So we finally cut it down. Though I think he liked wrestling matches, so once a week we'd go down there and to San Bernardino because it was the only one open. Well, I didn't mind going for the ride, and then our vacations would usually go back to Colorado, the Midwest. And then after he was laid off in 59, he went selling shoes and security guard and one thing another, and his health began to fail, and I had to sort of look after him till it was just after I retired. I had to put him in a nursing home. But other than that, when you work at work like that, or you're doing menial labor, you don't feel like or have the time. And I had a big place up in Los Angeles. I had a lot. There's 50 by 160, two houses on it. And I took care of all that myself. Let's see, in about 56, I think my tenant, his wife died. Well, then shortly after, he remarried again, and then they moved. Well, up until then, he took care of the place in the rear and all that, and took a lot of work off of me. And so then after that, nobody wanted to, or some wouldn't even rent the place if you'd mentioned that they had to keep up the lawn. And so then I got to doing it myself, and some my neighbor, an old widow lady, I took care of her front, even her front lawn. And when I done that, done all my other work and everything, I never had any desire to run around a lot. When I was younger and would have liked to, I couldn't. And then when I got to where I could, I didn't want to. So that was always the last thing in the world, is run around for entertainment.
How did you meet yourself
in this place? We worked the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he also worked at Lockheed?
Yes.
He also worked at Lockheed?
Yeah, he worked there. He was in working as a cabin furnisher, and I was an electrician, and we worked right side by side.
Uh-huh. And then, so he was laid off, though, about 4 years after you were married?
55, and then 49 was about 3.5 years, so it wasn't very long.
Uh-huh. Was that hard, I mean, that you were still working there, and that, I mean...
Well, I don't know whether I never could tell how he felt about anything. The only thing I think that he cared, as long as somebody's bringing in the money.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't say those things, but...
That's the way some people are. Yeah. Did, so from there, you, now your daughter had been supporting herself.
Well, she was married in right after the war.
Oh, so 45 or 46,
somewhere. See, yeah, because she's her first baby was born in 47, right after my husband died.
Uh-huh.
And I think she was married in 45, yeah.
So, then not long after you retired, you said because of his health, you had to...
I retired the last of October,
mm-hmm.
And November he had stroke after stroke,
mm-hmm.
And he had this one stroke, and he fell down, and trying to get him up, and sat down on his leg and broke it in two places, and I had to put him in the hospital, and he just went from bad to worse all the time, and I had him home there with his leg in a cast, and he was just like a baby, hold his arms up for me to to lift him and everything, and it was just killing me. So my daughter and her husband said, no, there's nothing else to do but put him in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And he died there. He got in a wheelchair, and they had to tie him in, and he couldn't, I couldn't understand anything he was saying when before he ever went, had to put him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Oh, it hurt you at the time, but after all, you stop to think, well, why quit, kill yourself and them too? Mm-hmm. And I was doing the work and take up all the people that it takes to wait on one person in a hospital or a nursing home like that. Well, you're doing it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got three shifts. Mine was...
You were on all three.
Yeah, and yet he couldn't see that.
What year did you pass away?
73.
Uh-huh. So, you've been, you've been supporting yourself for a long time before that, but in terms of being just living on your own since 73?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And,
71, because I had put him, it was in the end of 71,
uh-huh.
Almost 72, November,
uh-huh.
It was still November 71 that I had to put him in the nursing home.
Uh-huh. When you reached retirement at Lockheed, how did you feel about leaving it?
Leaving Lockheed?
Uh-huh.
Well, I felt pretty bad about it at the time, but after I got home and I thought, well, I don't have to keep a schedule now. I'll just tear in and get do the things I've been wanting to do around the place. Uh-huh. And, I kept busy. Done all the outside yard work and everything else I could do. So it was, I didn't have any time to grieve or to to wonder. And then, after all, when you get to be that old, why, you want to stay at home.
Now, you had been living up in this property that you owned part of it first, I think you told me, the one that had the two houses. You lived on that property for a while, right?
Yes. We bought it, my first husband and I, we bought it in 44.
Uh-huh.
And I lived there until I sold it, and she was a widow, and I was a widow. So there's no need of us keeping two places. So one day she asked me if I'd like to move down here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, in fact, she asked her son to ask me. I said, yeah, providing I sell the place up there. They said, oh, rent it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's too much trouble renting a place.
Mm-hmm.
One was bad enough, but two houses is too much. I was getting too old for that.
Uh-huh.
So I sold it, and In 78,
mm-hmm.
And moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still get plenty busy, because
uh-huh.
I do. She mows the lawn and washes her car,
uh-huh.
And I do the rest. Of course, she works the 11 to 8:30 shift in the psychopathic ward down at Long Beach Memorial.
So after you married and the second time, did you have your own bank accounts, and did that you kept your own?
Yeah, I had my own bank account from the time I worked the first time during the war.
Uh-huh. Did you just decide that on your own, that you would bank your own check?
Well, after I married him, we had a joint account. Well, that wasn't working out at all. So I told him to open up his own account, and I'd have mine, because I couldn't, he was just writing checks, or he carried the checkbook. That was, that was just great. And I see that account going down and down and down. Oh, well, where's all this money going to? I'm not spending it. So I said, open up your own account and I'll have mine. I said, you earn, you spend your money and I'll spend mine. No, it's, things are different now. You don't have to, used to be the husband go out and collect his wife's check, but they brought that to a screeching halt. She can have her own account. And of course, I don't have many credit cards. I have my Master Charge and everything. I got them when I I had my own checking account, though. That's going to, the bank sent me, kept sending me before I signed that form. So I didn't have to ask him or get his signature or anything. So I wonder sometimes when I read in the Action Line in the press telegram there about the women, they're divorced and how they're going to get their credit cards and things. Well, and they just tell them, some of them, well, you just can't. So.
But you did manage to have your own.
Well, I own my own property, or I own the property and everything. I was the, one that it was independent. He didn't own anything. So.
Have you, looking over that whole thing of going to work during the war, in retrospect from now, what kinds of thoughts do you have about it? When you think back about starting to work, I know you'd had a couple of other jobs before that, but that sounds like at least the first one where you were really earning a good-sized check.
Well, I really, that's a hard one to answer. To me, it just seems like now, it just seems like it was just a day-to-day process, that there wasn't much thinking done. It's just one of those things that had to be done, and you just went out and done it. But that, those things, they don't stick with you too long, I guess. Or you don't think much about them at the time, and they never make much of an impression afterwards. But that is, as you get older, you just, as I say, are just a day-to-day process.
Do you feel that working in the war, did you feel that things really changed then because of the war work, or would that have happened pretty much anyway, or when you look back on it? Was that a big opportunity for you?
Oh, it's the biggest opportunity in the world, especially when you've been as closely confined as I'd always been all my life. And it just, well, it was just like opening up a new world. It's like Alice in Wonderland, they might say. Oh, it was sure broadened the mind. And better outlook on life and everything. I look back and I say, oh, how thankful. They always say it's an ill wind that doesn't blow somebody some good. And I think, well, it took the war to do it. But it sure done wonders for me to get out and work like that among people. Not that a lot of them are a lot more intelligent than myself. It was just exchanging ideas. I wouldn't change it.
I was going to ask you if there's anything that you can think of that I haven't asked you about that you'd want to say or include. I know sometimes an interviewer doesn't always think of all the questions, and I was thinking if there was anything you'd want to add or...
No, I don't. I can't think of anything. it was a great time. It's just activity. Some people can't stand activity, but as long as it's menial labor, mm-hmm. but as long as it isn't slave labor, I think it's great. There's nothing that's any boring than to sit. Now, my wrists or my thumbs or something, I can't, I used to sew all the time, embroidery. I can't stand those thumbs down pressing those. My neighbor says I'll make that latch work. Uh-huh. Well, I can't do it. Uh-huh. It's, I guess a lot of it is effects of the work that I did. But when the weather's bad and I can't get outside, and of course I have to be quiet because she sleeps days and everything, I just sitting here doing nothing and that reading is the most boresome thing ever was. Now, some people can just sit and read or sit and crochet. Well, I can't sit and sit and sit. When I do any handwork or anything, 45 minutes is, and that's a strain to sit 45 minutes and do anything. We was making coat hangers. You take two wire hangers and tape them together, and then take your yarn and knit or crochet or tat over that. However, it's more like a cable lace, and that. And they're very sturdy. Makes very sturdy slack hangers. Mm-hmm. Well, I could do one of them in an hour if I could sit still that long. But last year I neighbors had so much fruit, and they gave me fruit, and I canned it, thinking I'd make jam for my sister that's in the convalescent hospital over here at Paramount, and the fruit was so juicy that it was just a waste of time and sugar as it wouldn't set up. But I just, there was so much of it, and I was screwing those little caps on that I'm just now, and that was last year, getting use of that thumb back.
Uh-huh. And then, you think some of that may have come from working with the machinery that you do?
And the tools. You see, I've done a lot of hand legging. Uh-huh. And it wears you down. See that thumb there and that finger there is from the scissors that I clip the string and trim the steel shields off of the wires. Uh-huh. It's just, and a ratchet. You couldn't use an air gun on a lot of the little terminals because it'd snap off the nuts. Mm-hmm. And so you'd have to use a ratchet. Mm-hmm. Well, that I used it so long there, it's got that.
Uh-huh.
And then my other fingers had, when you had a board that was, say, that long, or that wide and that long and just plugs up and down, well, you've got to snap them in. And I used to screw those plugs in and then safety wire them. Well, the Germans come up with a plug that you have to put a lot of pressure on it and then get it around. It's got a slot and a little bulb or thing on one and then a slot on the other. You've seen how that works. Well, when they snap, after you've got two or another row of plugs back there, it catches your fingers in between them, your knuckles. Well, then, first thing you know, you've got arthritis set up.
Are there any other things that you've noticed? noticed? I mean, that besides on your hands and joints, things from working
there? No, it just seems there's things that would get in the way.
Did you ever feel, I want to ask you in terms of, did you ever feel that the work you were doing, was doing mechanical work and as a woman, did you ever have other people say anything to you about that being unusual for a woman, or?
No, they, after, since the war, it's just a matter of course. That women do all kind of work now, and they're just they're just used to seeing it. Now that at first, at the beginning of the war, men were amazed at what that women done. It was like riding the bus. One old man says, that's always one thing I did, is wash my hands at the shift, end of the shift. And we had, it was kind of like a brack, so I never saw any use of anybody going with back and forth with her hands dirty, because everybody else has to touch all these things that you touch. And he said, how do you keep your hands so clean? And I said, I always managed to work up a batch of pie crust or biscuits. I said, that grease always takes all that dirt out. Some of them, I think, actually believe me. I thought, well, a crazy question deserved a crazy answer, and that's what I told them. I said, are they... the grease in the dough, I said, just cleaned your hands beautifully.
Well, and let's, I was just going to ask you that, what you see happening from here, I mean, what your plans are from this point on. You've talked to me about what's happened in the past. What do you see going on for your future?
I'm not even looking. No, it's just one day at a time. No, I'm not even looking. I just, I think maybe I might see something that wouldn't be very pleasant, and I don't want that working on my mind, so I just, take it as it comes. As we never know.
Okay. Well.